A number of prominent rookies on this Dolphins 2023 roster participated in Mobile, Alabama at the 2023 Senior Bowl. We're joined today on the show by Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy to learn a little bit more about the Senior Bowl alumni that are now calling South Florida home.
You are Locked On Dolphins, your daily Miami Dolphins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Miami. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Dolphins. It's your team every day here on the Locked On Network. I'm your host, Kyle Krabs, lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, host of Locked On Dolphins, co-host of the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast. And you can find our shows on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dolphins your first, and in this case, also your second Miami Dolphins listen of the day. Today is Thursday, June 8th. I want to give a shout out to our everydayers who are plugged in with us on a daily basis here on Locked On. And amidst the news that Dalvin Cook is going to be released within the next 24 hours, if the Vikings are not able to secure a trade partner for Dalvin Cook in his 3 years and $37 million left on his contract, we're not talking about Dalvin Cook with a double dip today. We're talking about a couple of members of this Miami Dolphins rookie class. Have an opportunity to welcome Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy. I've had a chance to get to know quite a bit over the last few years to the show, and we're going to talk with him here today. Today's episode of Locked On Dolphins is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNFL, and when you enter promo code LockedOnNFL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with your order. So without further ado, we're going to welcome Jim onto the show, and we're going to dive right in with the Senior Bowl alumni. There's three. Stanford's Elijah Higgins, tight end slash wide receiver. Michigan's Ryan Hayes, offensive lineman. And undrafted free agent linebacker Aubrey Miller Jr., all members of the 2023 Senior Bowl. And who better to get to know them than Jim Nagy? So let's get after it. Joining us on the program now is the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, who have had a chance to get to know a little bit over the past couple years and consider him a good friend of mine, and excited to have him on the program here. Jim, your debut here on Locked On Dolphins. We've done some content before, but not on Locked On Dolphins. How's it going?
It's good, man. I came prepared. I got the helmet and everything. So good to be on with you, Kyle. Good to reconnect.
Talking my language there with the Dolphins helmet. I got the old school one over my shoulder here, but the Dolphins actually did some heavy lifting with Senior Bowl in spite of not having a lot of draft capital at their disposal. They didn't have a first round pick for the second consecutive year, and only four picks in general. They still managed to land two of their draft class as Senior Bowl alumni, and then have a pretty prominent undrafted free agent who is in a position room that the Dolphins are pretty light on. And I wanted to take advantage of your expertise and the fact that you know these guys really well, and allow you and your experiences with these guys through scouting the Senior Bowl and the Senior Bowl itself to kind of give Dolphins fans an idea and an expectation of what they're getting, starting with Elijah Higgins. Elijah Higgins, wide receiver slash tight end from Stanford. He was announced as a tight end for the Dolphins. What stood out the most to you about Elijah in your preparations for the Senior Bowl leading up to him getting the invitation to come down?
Yeah, pretty easy. Just the physical traits. I felt like in terms of, you know, skill players in last year's draft, one of the top height, weight, speed guys, regardless of position. And again, it's like, where do you put him, right? I don't know what room you put him in. I don't know what you call him. It's like, we're going down the road right now with Johnny Wilson, a receiver from Florida State. Like, what do we want to label this guy? Is he an F tight end? Is he a wide receiver? I don't really care. I don't know what the Dolphins are. I don't know what room they're sticking Elijah in. What he is a pass game weapon. He's a mismatch player in the pass game. Whatever he ended up being, you know, 6'3", 250 something. I know that a year ago at this time, I posted a clip of Elijah from Stanford on kind of a pull away touchdown, long touchdown catch and run play against UCLA. And those guys at Stanford told me that he hit over 22 on the GPS, I want to say, or upper 21s, which is rolling for a guy that size. So, yeah, you know, I thought he was one of the coolest height, weight, speed, skill guys in the draft.
And Miami has a couple of those guys. Tanner Connor was an undrafted free agent who made the team last year, who's another wide receiver convert to playing tight end. But Jim, I think what's really fascinating about Elijah and the offense that Stanford played is a little unorthodox with some of the RPO and long mesh stuff that they did this past year. But I fell in love with Elijah watching him with doing kind of the blue collar reps. You're watching him on the perimeter and just how physical that he is out there. Can you talk a little bit about from a skill player standpoint when you're evaluating these guys? Obviously, the traits is what gets Elijah Higgins drafted, but what does evaluating a player and seeing top shelf effort on the perimeter, whether that be in the screen game or in the running game, what does that do for a player in the evaluation process? Maybe not just only from your perspective for the Senior Bowl, but your longtime NFL front office persona that was involved in all of these discussions for a really long time.
Well, it helps you build conviction on a competitor, right? I mean, I don't care what position you're scouting, you want guys that want to compete. And that's what Elijah did down here as well. You know, I mean, this guy battled his butt off. And I will say this about him too. Like he's got a cool frame and the ability to like add and lose weight. So I think he can get to whatever the Miami Dolphins want him to get to. I think his weight's fluctuated even during the pre-draft process. You know, he was somewhere from that mid 20s to upper 30s. And then if you're already to the upper 30s, I mean, you can easily get to somewhere in the 40s, you know. So this guy's got kind of a moldable body type depending on how they want to use him. But yeah, he's not afraid to get after people at all. You know, it's just, you know, can he ever put his hand in the dirt? You know, from like a size and bulk and strength perspective, that remains to be seen. I think they would have to get him up, obviously, into the upper 40s, into the mid 50s, if he's going to be that guy. But yeah, you love the effort. There's no lack of physicality, that's for sure. You brought up Tanner Connor. That's a good one, man. We did a lot of work on Tanner coming out of Idaho State the year before. He was kind of a cut line guy for us, along with like Christian Watson for like small school guys. They were kind of, you know, we had Christian higher, but you know, we had a lot of the same conversations that we knew Tanner being a track guy at Idaho State. It's pretty easy to know he's going to run well, you know, and be a big time height, weight, speed guy. So yeah, the Stanford offense, going back to like what they were doing out there, is a little funky this year for as much talent as they had. You know, they really is a unit underachieved. I mean, they had a draftable quarterback. They had Elijah. They had Michael Wilson who went in the third round. I mean, that's a lot of up. And they had another receiver get signed as an undrafted free agent. So a lot of NFL talent, you know, to struggle the way they struggled and now have a coaching turnover. So, yes, going back to your original question, yeah, love the competitor, man. Just watching him block and not afraid to be physical and finish out there on the perimeter and be unselfish. It helps you with the buy-in of the player.
And just to echo your point there with the build and the ability to stack weight on the frame, Tanner Connor this past week at Dolphins minicamp said he'd added 10 pounds this offseason to do that exact same thing. So if that's kind of their progression plan, you can see them kind of embracing the competitiveness of that room in general with guys that have something to prove. The last thing I would ask you about Elijah is, when he was down there in Mobile, was he able to leave an impression on you about the kind of person that he is? Tell Dolphins fans who Elijah Higgins is as an individual, not just necessarily as a football player.
Yeah, you hate to scout the helmet when these guys, in terms of guys' ability. I don't think that's fair to players, but man, there is such a thing about a stereotype when it comes to certain schools. You know, you're getting a certain kind of guy depending on the program and what the head coach has built there. And with Coach Shaw's done an unbelievable job at Stanford. Yes, they tailed off here the last couple of years, but man, they had unprecedented success, you know, coming from the Jim Harbaugh era into the Coach Shaw's era. And they put out a certain kind of guy. And we've seen it, you know, going back to like Bobby Okereke, the linebacker who just left the Colts to go to the Giants this offseason, you know, when we first got here years ago, to this year's class with Michael Wilson and Caillou Blue Kelly, the cornerback, and Elijah. I mean, these guys are buttoned up. Very mature. They're ready to be pros. And that's the biggest thing is this guy, he's not going to have any trouble transitioning. He's going to be able to move to South Florida. He's going to have his stuff together. You're not going to have to worry about him from like a life skills and life management standpoint. So he's going to be able to get right in his playbook. Obviously, Stanford guy, you know, smart guy, playbook probably shouldn't be an issue for him. So, you know, when you talk about late round picks and having a chance to hit and stick in year one, they usually have to have all that stuff, that kind of makeup, and Elijah certainly does. He was a great guy to have here. We loved having him.
Before we go any further on today's episode of Locked on Dolphins, I have to tell you about our friends over at Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs are the shorts that make you look good. Doesn't matter what kind of build you got. I promise these khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but they do it better. They fixed the fit issue that you get with regular shorts, the stuffy cotton, the rigid materials, the unbreathability, because they created a cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches, so you have a way slimmer fit and more give without sacrificing movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. You can go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNFL and enter promo code LockedOnNFL for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/LockedOnNFL for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take these things off. Don't take your Bird Dogs off once you put them on. I promise you that. I want to transition now to the trenches. Staying on the offensive side of the ball, though, the Dolphins, with their final pick, drafted Ryan Hayes, offensive lineman from University of Michigan. And some Dolphins fans are wondering, in the midst of a lot of competition that's been brought in, maybe necessarily not in the starting five, but for roster spots 6, 7, 8, potentially 9 on the offensive line, where Ryan can fit in there. So I guess I'd start with, in the evaluation of Ryan Hayes, you know, where did you guys felt like he landed on the spectrum of positional versatility? Is he a left side of the line only type guy? Where did you feel he had the most avenues to put himself in a position to play at the NFL level?
Yeah, so our evaluation of Ryan goes way back. He's from my hometown. So his high school athletic director was one of my best friends growing up, grew up right across the alley from me. And so I've been hearing about Ryan Hayes for a long time. This kid was a three-sport high school stud. He played in the biggest classification in the state of Michigan. He was all-state in basketball, baseball, and football. So kind of an old-school three-sport guy. He's a high school tight end. So Ryan's biggest thing from the time he went to the University of Michigan as a tight end, I think the plan for Ryan when they recruited him was to just grow him and make him a tackle. But it's been that gradual progression in terms of bulk and strength. And he has, I mean, every year on tape, I've been peeking at him forever, just out of curiosity, because he's a hometown kid, Traverse City, Michigan. So, he's gradually put on bulk and strength, and he's done a nice job. He's played on both sides of the line, more of a left side player, there at Michigan. You know, he took a lot of reps on the right side here, which can be hard. I'll say this, like, There was right off the bat in Senior Bowl week, it might have been his very first rep of the week. He went against Isaiah Foskey from Notre Dame, who was, I think, the 40th pick of the draft of the Saints. So good player, double-digit sack guy the past couple of years at Notre Dame. And he put him on his can the first rep. And that was on the right side, you know, and he probably hadn't taken a live rep over there on the right side in a long, long time. So, you know, I think sometimes when people watch Senior Bowl week, they don't take those things into account. And it's a lot harder to switch sides than I think people that haven't played offensive line before truly realize. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a swing tackle. I think that's going to be his role. I think that's where you draft him at. I think they got really good value. I thought Ryan had a chance to go anywhere in that round 5 to 7 range. They got him towards the bottom end of that range. So that's, to me, that's really good value. And when you draft guys in that range, you're drafting guys to compete for a back-end roster spot, or at minimum be on the practice squad. I think that's kind of where we see, you know, Ryan's future being this year. Is he going to stick? Is the 9th or 10th guy? Is there going to be a year on the practice squad where, you know, he can get bulk and strength? Again, your Michigan program, they won the Joe Moore Award as the offensive line of the year, pretty prestigious award in college football right now. So he's a back-to-back Joe Moore Award winner. Played a lot of good football, high football makeup, competitive, tough, knows how to do it, played in a pro style system. And I think the sky's the limit. I look forward to seeing him. Like, I look forward to seeing Ryan like 2 or 3 years down the road.
So that's kind of a common theme for the Dolphins' first two picks, and you being somebody who, or their last two picks, and you being somebody who's been in a number of different rooms, I would just love to hear your insight on the thought process with late round draft picks? And what are you most hoping to accomplish? Like in the places that you've been, what have some of those conversations been like about sixth round, seventh round? Because obviously your expectation for finding an immediate starter is probably not rooted in reality unless it's an absolute dream scenario or player falls for reasons that aren't tied to their skill on the football field. So what are some of your experiences for what places that you've been around or people that you're familiar with throughout the space, not to, tell on any individual spot that you've been in, what has been the goal with some of those late round draft picks?
It's a good question. It's a good question, Kyle. It certainly varies. I've worked for clubs where on day three, you don't want to reach for need up at the top of the draft, right? I mean, theoretically, I'd much rather take best player available up top when you're talking about really high end talent. But, you know, you get into day three and sometimes you're trying to plug holes, roster holes for need. And then I think what we've really seen over the last probably 5 to 10 years is teams are really using those late round picks to try to hit on physical traits, which Ryan has. I mean, let's again, the star system, whatever, however you value the high school star stuff. I mean, this guy's a 4-star tight end. We're dealing with a pretty darn good athlete now. Like I said, a 3-sport guy at a high school at a big high school, not some little podunk school. So they're trying to hit on some physical talents where, you know, you might end up with a starter, right? I mean, rather you take a guy with a high athletic ceiling that needs some work, where, you know, in Ryan's case, bulk and strength. Some other guys that might be just coaching development, maybe they're late bloomers, late to the game, that sort of thing. Your position conversion guys like Tariq Woolen a year ago, a guy that played receiver his first 2 years and only played corner for 2 years at UTSA. Obviously Seattle hit there. So that's what most teams are trying to do nowadays. And if they're not trying to do that, they're trying to create competition at a certain spot in draft for need.
Miami's last prominent Senior Bowl personality that I want to make sure that we spend a little bit of time on was Jackson State linebacker Aubrey Miller Jr., who certainly made his presence felt in the game, had a big tackle there on the sideline there in the game on Saturday this year. And thought he had
first
a nice
play of the game.
Set the tone pretty darn early there. But he had a nice week of practice too. And wanted to hear your thoughts on Aubrey, what he brings to the table. The Dolphins are really thin. If you're including Andrew Van Ginkle in their off-ball linebacker room, they have 5 off-ball linebackers, not including Aubrey Miller or any of the other undrafted free agents that they've currently brought in. So potential roster spot available in that room if the Dolphins want to carry 5 or 6 off-ball linebackers. And, you know, I think 5 is probably a decent chance to see it happen. I think 6, you'd really have to see somebody commandeer a roster spot and force the front office to say, hey, we don't want to lose him. So as far as what Aubrey brings to the table, what stands out to you with the background with Aubrey?
Yeah, Aubrey's a stud, man. Really was hoping he would get drafted. Really thought he would get drafted. I'll say this. We wouldn't have invited him to the Senior Bowl if we didn't think he was going to get drafted. We don't invite guys we think are going to be free agents. But going back to the scouting process with Aubrey, went into Jackson State. Our staff went up there last August. Coach Prime was good enough to let us come up there. We saw practice in the morning, went in and spoke to the team, the entire team first, and then he kept all the seniors behind and dove in a little more deep with the 2023 draft eligible guys. And what stood out about Aubrey in that meeting room was just, man, he was so attentive, taking detailed notes, asking really good questions. So like based off that, I knew how important this was to him and how serious it was to him. And then he came up after and introduced himself, and we had a good one-on-one talk after that. So going into the year, I'm like, man, this dude's serious about it. Like we got to really pay attention to this guy. And we had a couple different scouts go in and see Jackson State live last year. And he is just a run and hit player. I mean, he's a Missouri transfer. So he was a Power 5 recruit, out of high school for the Dolphins fans that don't know that. So, that's what that is. And then, you know, he goes to Jackson State and, leads the conference in tackles for a couple of years. I mean, he constantly shows up on tape. And yeah, he's a little shorter, doesn't have quite the length. But he is a rocked up dude, you know, and that limits his movement a little bit. But to Aubrey's credit, man, he knew that. We talked about it when he was in there. I said, you got to loosen up a little bit, do what you can from a flexibility standpoint. And then I got a call from their staff in the middle of October, and they're like, this kid is on the field every day, like doing yoga. I don't know if he had his iPad out there with him or his iPhone, but he was out there on the field in the mornings doing yoga by himself, you know, working on his weaknesses, which, says a lot, man. It says a lot about a guy. And then they came to Mobile and played in a classic game last year against, who'd they play? Alabama and A&M maybe, Jackson State did. And, we actually gave, Coach Prime gave Aubrey his Senior Bowl invite in the locker room. It was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool moment. And he ran out of the locker room and met his dad in the stands. It was pretty awesome. So, and he had a good week at Senior Bowl. I'll say this too, man. Like, we had major roster attrition at the end of the week at the linebacker spot. He was the only true linebacker on his team that made it through the week to the game. So he played just about every dang snap in that game. Didn't bat an eye, like didn't question it. Like wasn't worried about how many snaps he was going to get. He just played his tail off. So to me, that's why I was disappointed Aubrey didn't get picked. He did everything he could do through the process, except probably run a great 40 time. He was like a mid 4.7 guy, at his pro day. But to me, man, when you play as hard as Aubrey does, and when you pull the trigger and just go and trust your eyes and run through people the way he does, you play faster than whatever the stupid stopwatch says. So, I think he's got a really good chance there. Obviously, when we scouted him, I thought he was a make it player. I thought he was a guy that at minimum was going to be a really good court special teams player. Because going back to that game in Mobile, opening kickoff, you've got your best football player on the field on kickoff team. I think he was like the L5 or R5. And I'm standing in the end zone watching him run down. And he just ran straight through a dude, decapitated a dude to get the football and made the tackle on the opening kickoff. I'm like, wow, that's what some team's going to be paying him to do next year. And I saw a guy that's going to do that on Sundays. So I hope he's got a great camp, man. I hope he puts himself in position, and I know he's going to, just based off everything he did getting ready to be drafted. I know now that he didn't get drafted, he's probably down there in South Florida with a giant chip on his shoulder.
Be music to Dolphins fans' ears, particularly or even from the special teams component. Dolphins, one of the worst special teams units in football last year from a kick coverage standpoint and a kickoff standpoint. So having little bit more edge and some depth, if Aubrey can bring that, that would be phenomenal. Jim, I think the last thing that I wanted to ask you about Aubrey, kind of tying him into this Dolphin system where a lot of the Vic Fangio tendencies as the defensive coordinator has been rooted in kind of presenting two high shells before the snaps and living in lighter box counts and just how you think Aubrey and his style of play can be suited into a defense that maybe doesn't necessarily give you an ideal amount of protection versus some other defensive systems that are more gap control oriented, but being at that man, half man disadvantage in the box when you have to defend the run. Talk a little bit about Aubrey's physical play style and how he may be able to apply that to have success in a system that is operating at a numbers deficiency to try to defend the run.
Yeah, right. That's right. And that's why I do think it's a good fit, because he is a physical downhill player. That's why I like him as a linebacker, because he will come downhill and hit guards in the mouth and stack guards and play off people. But he also has the speed and range, although whatever mid 4.7 time, I don't care. I mean, that play you referenced in the Senior Bowl, that first play of the game, where he ran the back down on the sideline and ran through him and just, you know, I mean, this guy plays with good range, so he can get sideline to sideline. He also can play downhill. Usually those two things don't go hand in hand. I mean, kind of similar to Channing Tindall last year. I'm excited to see what Channing will do and what leap forward he can make in a new system this year. But that's what Aubrey's game is, man. I mean, he can play downhill. He's got the bulk and size to do that. He can hold up playing downhill, but he also run and hit and get out to the perimeter. So, yeah, I mean, his biggest thing, you know, watching Aubrey, when I was being nitpicky with him and he asked what he could work on, it's just the flexibility and stuff and coverage. And I thought he showed up better down here in the Senior Bowl and in the one-on-one coverage stuff than I thought he would, quite frankly. I thought that might be an area where he got exposed a little bit, but, he made some plays on the ball and stuck with the backs better than I thought. So, I think Coach Fangio is going to like him. You know, an old school coach is going to like a guy that's coachable, and that's Aubrey. Chip on his shoulder guy, and just really determined and tough and rugged. He's just kind of got an old school play style, and I think that's a good fit. I really like the fit there. I think whoever, I forget who Aubrey's agent is, but when you get to undrafted free agency, it's about, you know, the player and the agent have to make a good decision on where the depth chart and the scheme fit would be. I think Miami sounds like a really good place for him.
Jim, really appreciate your time. I want to give you the opportunity to tell anybody who is either watching or listening to this anything that they may not know about the Senior Bowl, the event itself, Mobile. Obviously, you guys have built a really, really incredible fan experience down there, and I want to give you a chance to communicate anything for football fans who may be interested or learning more about the Senior Bowl or partaking in the future in the Senior Bowl, what they need to know.
Yeah, Kyle, appreciate that, man. No, we hopefully grabbed a good hold of the Dolphins fan base a couple of years ago when Coach Flores and Chris Greer and those guys came up here to coach the game. That was during our COVID year. We got a lot of interaction with the Dolphins fan base that year. But yeah, it's an awesome week, man. We're coming up on our 75th anniversary game this year. So we're going to be putting together a 75th anniversary team, which Dan Marino has a pretty good chance of being that 75th anniversary team quarterback. So, and Dan's here every year as part of the Dolphins organization. But yeah, it's a great week. We've worked hard, Kyle, to build the week out and create more. But man, if you just came up just for the practices alone at the new stadium, you know, we changed venues about 3 years ago and moved out to a brand new stadium out at South Alabama. You can attest, man, there's just a different vibe out there now. With the Jumbotron and the music, and there's a different vibe. I mean, this game's been a great game for a long time, but the change of venue has been good for us. And then now that we fall during Mardi Gras season, when the NFL kind of pushed back that week and added that 17th game, we're squarely in Mardi Gras season. So Mobile is proudly the home of the Senior Bowl and probably the home of the original home of Mardi Gras. It's not New Orleans. So we've got a Mardi Gras parade for our players. This year we had Nelly play a concert downtown. So there's a lot going on. And this year with our 75th anniversary, there's going to be some special stuff we have planned too. So it's an awesome week. It's a really unique week. We credential basically the entire NFL. You've been here for forever, Kyle, and you walk the streets of Mobile and you're going to run into head coaches and GMs and guys that you see on TV during the fall. So just a lot of fun, man. We'd invite anyone up here. It's a really unique experience. And I tell people, like, you come once, it's something you want to come back to. And it sounds biased now, the chair I sit in, but I've been coming to the Senior Bowl since 1998 and as a scout. And it's an incredible week.
Yeah. And I will echo that sentiment. One of the weeks that I'm most excited to on the calendar, and not just because I work in football, but a chance to go down and experience all the things that Jim has said. If you're a football fan with the means, or if it's regionally feasible for you, give it a try. I promise you won't regret it. And Jim, I certainly don't regret having you on the show today. So appreciate you carving some time out of your day. I know you've been busy with the scout school and already beginning your preparations and getting some work done for this class of 2024 already. So appreciate your time. And thanks for talking to Dolphins fans about a couple of these members of the rookie class.
Absolutely, Kyle. Thanks for having me on, man. And congrats on the baby on the way. And have an awesome summer. I'm sure we'll connect as we get closer to football season. But have a good summer, man.
Thank you. You too, Jim. That is going to do it for our discussion with Jim Nagy. He's been a very good friend of mine. The hospitality down there, sincerely, if you're a football fan who loves having interactive experiences around the game of football and being closer to the NFL, Mobile, Alabama, you can fly into New Orleans, you can fly into Pensacola, you can fly into Birmingham. You can fly into Mobile directly if you wanted to. You could get through a number of hubs across Houston, Charlotte, and Atlanta, I believe, have direct flights to Mobile. But I say all that because if you're a football fan, this is a place you should aspire to at least go once and check the box. It has an awesome environment. It has a small town feel with the entire league that congregates down on an annual basis. And Jim, of course, he's been in that post as the executive director for 5 years now. He's done a tremendous job with the game, and we are looking forward to hopefully having a first-round pick to scout and perhaps getting a first-round pick to scout that is at the Senior Bowl as well. And if that is the case, well, we'll have Jim on to talk about it. But we hope you enjoyed his perspective on Elijah Higgins, Ryan Hayes, and Aubrey Miller as members of the Dolphins 2023 draft class or rookie class that are making a run at making this roster, and we'll see if they are able to accomplish that in the months ahead. That is going to do it for me. I'm Kyle Krabs, your host here on Locked On Dolphins. If you enjoyed today's content, please like the video if you're on YouTube. Hit subscribe. You can find us on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And keep it locked in right here on Locked On Dolphins, because it is your team every day. We don't just say it. We live it here on the Locked On Network. So shout out to the everydayers who live it with us. I'm out of here. Fins up. Peace. Make it a great day. I'll talk to y'all again soon.